it came unto our Lord. And having with them the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, and he healed them all. The miracles which our Lord performed, and by which a few were relieved temporarily of the sufferings with which humanity is plagued today and has been for many years. These miracles were simply prophecies referring to the time when all will be relieved of the sufferings of the present time, all sufferings of mankind, when the great physician will take in him his power and bring life, health, peace, and happiness, where now sorrow, suffering, sin, and death prevails. When no one shall say, I am sick. And none need to say to his neighbor, know the Lord, for all shall know him, from the least of them unto the greatest. In that day we are told that the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Isaiah, the 29th chapter and the 18th verse. Now we might ask, are we at this time in the beginning of the fulfillment of that prophecy? Are we authorized as the Lord's footstep followers in this time of trials and sufferings and trying experiences? Are we authorized to use our time and energy in trying to relieve the sufferings of humanity? You know there are those who think so. Oh, yes. And have greatly erred, leading many to a false hope with the same old delusions with which Satan has deceived so many in the past and at the present time, trying to usher in the work of the kingdom before the due time. But there is a blindness and a deafness that you and I are privileged to relieve. With those who are honest and sincere, those who are in perplexity and in fear of what they see coming to pass upon the earth, and the desire to bring themselves more into conformity with the will of God, they want to know more about God's will and the meaning of the times in which we find ourselves. And that is the blindness with which the great adversary has succeeded in blinding all to the glorious attributes of our loving Heavenly Father. His love, His mercy, His gracious, true, just, and wise dealings with his earthly family. The blindness that is upon all mankind, and concerning which the word of the Lord tells us, blindness or darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. And the apostle tells us that it is by the works of the adversary, Satan, that this is so, who by false doctrines, not only among heathen, but also among Christians, so-called, has misrepresented the divine character, his word, his plan, putting light for darkness and darkness for light, and has thus deceived the whole world, with a very small exception of the few whose eyes of understanding have been enlightened by the enlightenment of God's Holy Spirit. To them, the privilege of giving to bear the torchlight of light and truth in a dark and dismal world is theirs now. These are the called ones. As we read in Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, the 6th and 7th verses. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. Will hold thine hand and will keep thee. Will give thee for a covenant of the people. For a light of the Gentiles. For what purpose? To open the blind eyes. And to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Oh, dear friends, that will be a glorious time. That will be a glorious privilege for those who are faithful to their covenant and those who will finish their course with joy. Yes. But how much more grand and beautiful than even the experience and the privileges that are ours now will be the time when those who are in the prison house will be brought back. Bring out the prisoner from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And we ask in amazement, are we going to have a part in that? The word of the Lord assures us that we will. Why should we doubt? Why should we question the infallible word of God? Then shall you know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. Yes, that will indeed be a glorious time. But your privilege and mine today is a glorious privilege. As we take part in the dispensing of the message of the gospel, of the kingdom by tracts and books and radio and TV, whatever your privilege, whatever small part you may have in this work, it will be a rich blessing to you. The Lord lovingly grants us this privilege now. Let us take advantage of it. But now let us ask ourselves the question, which is the greater work? Opening the eyes of the naturally blind, or opening the eyes of the understanding and sending a ray of light of present truth into the benighted and perplexed and fearful minds of which there are so many today, wondering, fearing what they see coming to pass upon the earth, and they want to know more about it. If you had your choice of losing your physical sight or losing your spiritual sight, that is, those who have been blessed with a light and understanding of the plan of God, and whose minds have been enlightened with the Holy Spirit of God, there will be no hesitancy about our choice. Who would reply, yea, Lord, thou hast given us the heritage of thy children. Thou hast enlightened our minds that were blind to the understanding and appreciation of thy wonder of a plan of salvation for the redemption of thine earthly family, and a glorious hope of sharing with our blessed Lord in bringing that blessing to war-torn, suffering humanity. Oh, let me never lose sight of that. Let me never let that vision of the kingdom never be dimmed or lost sight of. What is physical sight during this little time of suffering and sorrow and death and trials and testings compared with this? We are surrounded by the beauties of nature. And the beauties of God's handiwork. But however beautiful, however charming, let it never supplant the vision of the kingdom and the glory of the coming kingdom. When all thy righteous dealings are made manifest, when everything in heaven and in earth will ring forth with paeans of praise to the great author of eternal salvation. Yes, we are indeed surrounded by the beauties of God's handiwork in this place, where the Lord has given us the privilege of coming together once a year and being blessed by our fellowship one with another. And truly we can say with the Apostle John, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, we sympathize, of course, with the dear ones whose physical sight, physical blindness, does not permit them to see the beauties of nature. But we would say to them this morning, take courage, hold fast, be very thankful and grateful to the Lord if your spiritual vision is clear. That's the important thing, dear friend. Oh, the spiritual blindness that is in the world today is appalling. How true the words of the prophet. Darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. That we are in the day of the Lord. We believe that all who do any serious thinking concerning the times in which we find ourselves realize that we are in the day of God's vengeance against the nations and kingdoms that have put up their gods and worship them, and declared by so many of God's holy prophets. In the days of our Lord, He spoke through the prophets concerning the state of Israel, to whom He came as their Messiah, and they rejected Him. And He said through the prophet, for this people's hearts have waxed dross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. They have their counterpart in our day. The evil conditions in the world today are such as never came into existence before upon the earth. Much worse than in the days of our Lord, among the children of Israel. Crime is prevalent everywhere. Hatred, ill will, malice without limit. The worldly wise are blind to the purposes of God for his earthly family. The wisdom of the wise is perishing, and the understanding of the prudent is dead. Thus saith the Lord, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the water, and the waters of truth shall overflow the hiding places. 1st it says the hail of truth, the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding places. And the prophet of the Lord further said, the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Thus spake the prophet of the Lord concerning Israel at the end of the Jewish age. We're now at the end of the gospel age, and we're witnessing the judgment of God coming upon the Gentile nations. This is the passage which the apostle Paul quoted to the Jews who came to hear him as he was held a prisoner in Rome. And they would not receive him. They would not accept him. And he quoted this scripture. God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Truly great is the responsibility of those who presume to teach the word of God and have led people astray by false doctrines and teachings. The Lord, through the prophet Micah in the 3rd chapter, 5th and 6th verses, speaks of these false teachers. Thus saith the Lord, regarding the prophets who lead my people astray, who preach prosperity when their mouth is filled. But if one does not put something in their mouth, they declare war against him. Therefore, it shall be night for you without vision, and darkness for you without divination. For the sun shall set over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Micah 3, 5 and 6, using the American Revised. It is hard, dear friends, for us to realize the godlessness to which some of the so-called Christian churches have sunk in our time. It has come on so gradual that it is hard for us to see how such a thing would be possible. An article appears in the Times magazine which tells us of a new scheme of the devil that has taken hold on the so-called Protestant churches. It is called glossolalia, which means praying and speaking and talking in gibberish. The article which gives us this information goes on to say that without question, glossolalia is a fast-growing fad among the United States Protestant churches. Once the peculiarity of the Pentecostal church who believe in speaking in gibberish, which they themselves nor nobody else understands. And that this is taking hold now in the Episcopalian, Methodist, Baptist, and Presbyterian churches throughout the United States. Is it any wonder that the world is in the condition it is in? And we can say without hesitation that it is going to be much worse before it's better. And thus the prophet says, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it. How very necessary therefore, dear friends, that we as the Lord's covenant people should walk in the light of his countenance, who has promised to be with us always and never to leave us nor forsake us. Let us heed the admonition of God's word in Proverbs 4:19. Let thine eyes look straight on and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Of course, we do not expect a general opening of the blind eyes at the present time. But to those whom the Lord has blessed with the understanding of his great plan of salvation and are walking in the light of his countenance, the word of the Lord comes to them. Blessed are your eyes for the see and your ears for the hear, the glad message of the kingdom. Thus saith the Lord through the prophet, your eyes shall see and you shall say, the Lord be magnified. Surely we all long for the time when all the deaf ears shall be unstopped and all the blind eyes shall be opened. But perhaps you say, if there is no hope for a general opening of the blind eyes at this time, why bring up this subject here? Dear ones, all, we address you as brothers and sisters in Christ. We trust that you all are. And we would answer this question that we have taken up this subject because you are the ones with whom we are chiefly concerned. You are the ones who are in danger of being the target of the adversary in his efforts to stumble, if possible, the very elect. You are the ones who are in danger. The adversary doesn't concern himself with the world. He has them under his thumb anyway. But you are the ones. And I pray God that we may leave this convention strengthened and built up in the most holy faith in such a way that nothing that comes will shake us or draw us aside from the path of truth and righteousness. Yes, you are the ones with whom we are concerned, dear ones. Your presence here shows or proves that your eyes have been anointed with the eyes of truth. That the eyes of your understanding have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God. so that you now share the hope of the brothers and sisters with whom you have been and are now coming in contact with at this convention. Yes, you share our joys. You share our hopes. You share our belief in the prophecy of John. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Then to you who reap the full measure of reward through faithfulness to the Lord, faithfulness to the truth, faithfulness to the brethren, the word of the Lord will come to you. Bring forth the people that are blind yet have eyes, and are deaf yet have ears. All the nations are gathered together, and the people are assembled. Yet who among them could foretell this, or could announce it beforehand? Let them bring forth their witnesses to prove them in the right, to hear their plea and say, it is the truth. It is the truth. Oh, they'll come to that. Yes, they'll come to that. Then as the prophet of the Lord tells us in Zechariah 3:13-4, and it shall come to pass that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when they prophesy, neither shall they wear a rough garment anymore to deceive. No more long coats and dog collars. It is when we see the great taskmaster Satan removed and all the results of his nefarious work destroyed, washed away, the poor blinded world purged from sin and all the sinner race privileged to return to the full liberty of the sons of God, then indeed we shall see the lengths and breadths and heights and depth of the love of God for his earthly family in Christ Jesus our Lord. But there is another reason why we have chosen this subject. It is because so many whose eyes have been enlightened with the enlightenment of the truth, who ran well for a time, who did hinder them, and indeed with whom we took sweet counsel in the house of God together, and now their spiritual vision is dimmed. They are losing their sight. The light that was in them is becoming darkness. And the word of the Lord tells us how great is that darkness. Then shall the righteous, we read, concerning those who hold fast, those who press down upon the mark with confidence and trust and assurance in the Lord who will bring it to pass. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. But before you or I shine forth as the kingdom, as the sun in the kingdom of the Father, we will have to let our light shine now, so that others may take notice of us that we have been with Jesus and learned of him. And as we tread this weary pilgrimage, that we may have such close walk and fellowship with the Lord in our daily course that others may see in us the character and likeness of our Lord. We have the assurance that if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. The world today, in the world today, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And we are not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but we are to reprove them. But what if the schemes of the adversary to deceive, if possible, the very elect has wormed its way in among ourselves? What then? So that to those who are not firmly established in the faith and in the truth, have not kept abreast of the truth, but have allowed some of Satan's suggestions to take root in their hearts, failing to heed the admonition of God's word and the many warnings from the word of the servants of the Lord, whom He used to dispense the truth and to give us admonition, comfort, and help in our pilgrimage journey. And dear ones, we have had a wonderful feast of that at this convention. Oh, let us keep it in mind. Let us ponder it in our hearts and minds as we go back to our homes. Yes. We know how Satan has succeeded in deceiving many who claim to be God's servants. They rejoiced in the truth in years gone by, but now their spiritual vision is darkened. They used to believe that the Lord at the end of this age would raise up a faithful and wise servant to whom He would give charge over His household and would dispense meat in due season to the household of faith. But today they have turned their back upon the table of the Lord and now no longer believe in the truths that filled our hearts with joy and peace in years gone by. Oh, for shame that anyone who once rejoiced in these blessed truths should now become darkness. And how great is that darkness? There are many such schemes of the adversary prevalent today. Perhaps the largest organization that is deceived and deceiving is a group who are busy advancing the bitter, God-dishonoring and satanic deception that all who die outside of Christ in the present age are eternally lost and will have no resurrection because they did not join their organization. And so we would say in the words of the prophet Isaiah, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, spreading these false doctrines instead of this beautiful, wonderful message of God's word, which tells us that the gospel in due time is to be good tidings of great joy to all people. All will be brought to an accurate knowledge of the truth. And by obedience to the laws of the kingdom, for which our Lord taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, they will be given the blessings of eternal life. And if any will not hear that prophet in that day, he will be cut off in the second death from which there is no resurrection. Against the attack of the evil one, we would use our time and energy in exhorting the Lord's people in the words of the apostle, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, using Weymouth rendering. So then, brethren, stand your grounds, hold fast to the teachings which you have received from us, whether by word of mouth or by letter. If we are to stand against the prince of darkness in this evil day, we must be faithful to the light with which our Lord has blessed us. Trials and testings must of necessity come. How else could we prove our worthiness of the position to which we are called? But by testings, testing our faithfulness to the covenant into which we have entered. That means trials. Trials in all points. As the Apostle James tells us, manifold trials. And they will come in all points. As the Word of God points out, we need to be tested and tried in our faith, the faith which cannot be shaken by anything that comes. In our love, and I would call to your mind the beautiful discourse that we heard from our dear brother Cook on this subject. And patience and meekness, humility. Ah, yes. All other characteristics that grow, that thus growing out into the character and likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Coming to the full stature of the perfect man in Christ. We as the Lord's people have been living in a condition of comparative ease and quiet. We have not experienced much opposition. Certainly not suffering for truth's sake. But the fact that we are now living in a very troublous world, we can hardly expect these periods of quietness to go on indefinitely. My humble opinion, dear ones, is that never in the Christian, in our Christian experience, has it been more essential for us to redeem the time than during this period of comparative ease and quiet. And that the time will come when we will need all the reserve of spiritual strength that we can muster. Let us rejoice if our trials have brought us lessons of any kind that have tended to make us strong in character, more firm in the truth, in truth and righteousness, more aware of our own weaknesses, and more on guard against the faults and failings of the flesh. Do we have this spiritual vision? Do we have this spiritual vision that will enable us to see the molding and fashioning hand of the great potter in our daily experiences? Jesus' answer to Pilate is significant. He says, "Every one that is of the truth heareth my word." Do we have the keenness of hearing which will enable us to hear him say, "This is the way, walk ye in it," when you turn to the right hand or to the left? Or using the parable of our Lord, when he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of strangers they will not hear nor heed." Closing with another, one more scripture from our blessed Lord, John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. He that is of God heareth God's word. May we have that keenness of vision and that keenness of hearing which will enable us to finish our course with joy. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts and minds. Amen.